Good afternoon. Welcome to the badging session. For those of you that are sitting further in the back, we invite you to come up. This is a fairly large room, and I'm hoping that we can make it a little bit more intimate, so later on you can discuss with each other, you can ask questions, and we can actually see you, because these lights are really bright. We'll get started with introductions. I'm Chris Gamrat. I'm an instructional designer at Penn State. I work for the College of Information Sciences and Technology. I'm also the principal investigator with the Lifelong Learning Landscape, which is a digital badging platform initiative here at Penn State. So we've been working on that for a little over a year now, and we're here to share some of our experiences.
Yeah. And I'm Chris Stubbs, and I head up a group called the Educational Gaming Commons at Penn State, which deals with educational games, as you probably guessed. So our colleague Bart Purcell was also scheduled to come, but he wasn't able to make it, unfortunately. So he's with us in spirit, though in a much colder and less gumbo-filled place. So. So, you know, what we're here to talk about today is digital badges, as I suspect all of you knew. But one thing I want to put out there up front is there is no expectation on our part that this is going to answer all of your questions. And for that, I apologize. But I think this is kind of a brave new world for all of us. And what we're here to do is talk really about kind of our last year's worth of experience working with digital badges at Penn State, to share some of the lessons we've learned and some of the tips maybe we have for you guys, and then maybe probably to ask more questions, ultimately, that hopefully all of you will be able to think about in your own badging initiatives. So this is a little bit of an everything talk. For those of you who have no experience with badges, welcome. For those of you who have badge initiatives of your own, also welcome, and hopefully we can have a little bit of something for everybody. So. When we were trying to figure out how to start this talk, you know, we thought about the idea of doing one of those sort of like the sky is falling in higher education and here's all the reasons why we have to change to a new technology sort of idea. But, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard that before. It gets a little bit cliche. So we'll do that, but later. And we'll start with kind of a story that I think illustrates the need for digital badges, specifically at our university, but I'm sure you all have stories like this one. So some of you may be familiar with Penn State's World Campus. It is kind of our online learning portal. I believe it started in 1998. Currently, we have around 13,000 students a year go through the program. To give you some perspective, University Park Campus, which is where Chris and I are from, it sees about 45, 46,000 students come through a year. So, you know, World Campus isn't quite at the same level in terms of number of enrollments. But recently, I think it was April of last year, senior administration at Penn State decided that they were going to make a commitment to online learning. And so the goal is within 10 years to have 45,000 students going through our World Campus, right, to equal the number of students that are coming through at the University Park Campus. That's a fairly aggressive goal if the, you know, World Campus has been around for a little while. There's a lot of questions about how the university is going to get to that point. And I think we've done a great job marketing our programs. It has a pretty good reputation among online learning. And so there's a lot of questions sort of at a strategic level about how do you find people to fill this kind of a goal? And that sort of leads us to step one of where we think badges can come in. One of the problems associated with education, specifically when you're talking about an online program that attracts a ton of non-traditional returning adult students, a lot of military students, is that, you know, price is an issue and time is an issue, but you're also talking about folks that have experiences, that have worked jobs before, they've been part of industry, they've done internships or co-ops. They bring real life experience with them. And so I think one of the questions that we started wanting to look at was, is there something out there that can help make or turn those experiences, turn those life experiences that people have into a degree, something that can make a Penn State degree more appealing to someone who's looking for a place to pursue their learning? And this is what we feel badges can do. So price and time, if you can find ways to leverage people's pre-existing experiences, quantify those in some way, provide something substantial that shows that someone knows something, you can make it easier for them to get a degree, because you can make it possible to get a degree faster, thus pay less money for it, and leverage your experience that you already have. There are some other things that go along with higher ed, and this is where we transition into the what's wrong with higher ed, sort of. But that is also have to do with price and time a little bit. So transparency, right? As things get more expensive, and we don't need to talk about how expensive a college education is, we all know. And despite the fact that there's a lot of benefit to it, there is also a more critical eye being cast upon it, right? What does it mean to get a B in accounting, right? What does it mean to come away with a Penn State degree? What is it that you actually know? And we base a lot of things historically on, you know, reputations and the U.S. News Report ranking and things like that about how good a school is. But I think people are starting to ask more critical questions about, well, if we dig a little deeper, how do we know what someone knows? You know, a D student and an A student learn very different things in the same course. Is there a way that we can measure that beyond a grade as far as specific concepts that you know and that you'll take away from a course? What about intangible skills, right? We're here for 21st century learning in large part, right? There's a new set of skills that have come into the workplace now. And sometimes they're skills that have already existed for a long time. Leadership, public speaking, communication, team building skills that we all espouse in our programs and we all want our graduates to have, but we've not really done a great job measuring them and trying to define what it is that shows that our graduates have those kinds of experiences. So these are just some of the reasons, I think, why we initially started down a road toward exploring digital badges as an educational tool.
So we started thinking about a lot of the tools that are out there, and these are just a couple of bigger examples. So we looked at degrees and transcripts. These are big things that describe what a learning experience is like for 3, 4, 6, in my case, 9 years. At a very high level, they represent that information. Degree from Penn State. That says something. It says something about the reputation of the university. It says something about the program. But there's not that much to it. There's really, unless you know about the school, the program, faculty, you really can't evaluate somebody who has a degree from one university versus another unless you understand both of those places. So there's a lot of these questions that are shrouded in there. Transcripts are another one. At Penn State, we have abbreviations for everything. So course numbers, program abbreviations. There are a lot of things that even spelled out in transcripts are still super confusing. So there's just a lot that's hidden inside of degrees and transcripts, and really, really wanted to provide additional information for employers and learners to be able to, one, evaluate learning experiences, make decisions for themselves, and two, for employers to be able to say, I see you've done this, and I understand what, when you say that you have experience in leadership, it means X and Y and Z. We also looked at portfolios. And we realized that one of the issues with that is there isn't any validation. And so, like, I can set up a portfolio and say that I was president of every club that I was in, and there's a very limited ability for an employer or someone else to go in and actually fact check that sort of thing. So portfolios do have a lot of benefit because they're a place that really highlights the wonderful work that learners do and want to put out there and share with a larger audience. But there's no one on the other end that's saying, yes, I agree, this person did that, and I certify that happened. And we started to realize that badging is kind of a really nice sweet spot in between these two things. So badges for the win, they actually, with the ability to store all that information, they have the ability to really capture the benefits of both degrees and degrees, transcripts, and portfolios. So enter the badge. Badging is really wonderful, in my opinion, because it allows to capture skills, knowledge, abilities, competencies, milestones. There's a lot of different ways that you can use badges to represent these sorts of learning experiences. And by doing so, you can not only capture various grain sizes. So when I say grain size, I mean a degree is a grain size. It's a large one. A class is also another one, but maybe weeks are one, are also ones. And these are ways that you can really represent what learning is and being able to more effectively elaborate on those sorts of experiences that learners have.
So, in full disclosure, this is not our image. This image is actually from Kyle Bowen and the folks at Purdue. I thought I saw Kyle earlier, but I can't actually see anyone in the audience now because of the floodlights we have on us. So, with full sort of issuing of credit to Kyle on this one, this is an image some of you might have seen. And the purpose of this, despite the strange medical, though maybe that works well with the connection to our opening keynote, idea is what is actually inside of a badge. So for those of you who have never experienced digital badges, there's a lot of information associated with them that's designed to capture what someone knows about a particular subject, topic, competency, whatever you'd like to call it. Obviously, that includes information like the description of the badge, right? What is this badge about? Who is issuing it? What were the criteria that were required in order for someone to earn this? When was it issued? Are there standards associated with it? But the real, and our non-subtle tag there, important factor that goes into digital badges is the evidence associated with it. So it's not just sort of another statement, like the kind you could find on a resume that says, you know how to do a certain thing. What makes them really important is the evidence associated with it. And that's where we sort of jumped off a little bit and said, okay, we can turn this into something. We can compare this now with transcripts, with e-portfolios, and create something really, really special.
So, early on in our project, when we started to think about what a digital badging platform would look like, we started to think about essentially the core functionality for a system like this. And I should also point out that this is assuming competency-based learning. So there aren't grades, there aren't levels. We wanted to take the philosophy of pass or redo, and not pass-fail, because we wanted to give them opportunities to be able to take in the feedback that they're getting from a reviewer, learn from that, and be able to improve their work, be able to move up to that next level, and really be able to get those competencies under their belt. So in this, we essentially looked at several phases in here. And the first one is a badge creator develops some sort of criteria. They populate it into the system. They create a badge. Once they've discussed it with peers, they've sent it to the dean to get his blessing, they've done all the necessary steps, it's then made public. And there are a number of different ways that it can be public. It could be prescribed out into a course. It can be kind of just sent out on its own, and students can interact with it independently. There are a number of different ways that it can be out there. But then, essentially, students can see it. They can make a decision, I'm going to get that badge. They add that badge to their queue, so kind of Netflix or Amazon shopping cart sort of thing. They say, I want to do this and this and this, and then and put it in a list. And we'll talk. I'll talk a little bit more on some of the research that I've done with that. So they put it in. They work on that badge, and sometimes if it's with a course, there may be some time constraints. Others, it might be very flexible in terms of how long it takes. But they submit all the evidence, and then it then goes to a reviewer. The reviewer's on the far end, and they evaluate it. There's set criteria, usually created by the badge. Badge developer, the criteria. They then essentially look at a rubric, compare it to what's been submitted by the learner, make some sort of decision. It's either accepted and then sent on back to the learner, or they receive feedback in terms of you did really great, but you missed this. I really need you to add more to step three or step four. So they get that sort of feedback there. It then goes out to the learner, and then they can put it into a portfolio. And this is something that can be both internal to Penn State, where they can store a lot of the evidence and information associated with their badge to really highlight what they've done. It could also be sent out into the Open Mozilla Backpack, which is a place where they can store not only badges from Penn State, but from other universities, other institutions that are also issuing badges.
So what does a badge look like, right, once you finally have one made? This is actually an example of one we're using in my home organization, Education Technology Services, to give you an example of what a badge might look like. So this was one that was created by our administration because we said, there's some core values that we have as an organization, right? We believe in folks building great relationships with faculty members. We believe in folks going out and exploring new technologies. And in this case, we believe in people going out and sharing ideas regarding the work that they've done. Interestingly enough, EDUCAUSE actually has a very similar badge that they're issuing at this conference for folks that have presented, among other things. But this just gives you kind of a really basic example of something. It gives, on the one hand, a new employee, if you can imagine, coming into an organization, an idea, a snapshot of what is valued within that organization, because it can be very difficult to acclimate to a new place. On the other hand, it can also give managerial folks or administrative personnel an idea of what exactly does my organization have in terms of skills, abilities, competencies. It can let you at a glance find strengths and maybe find areas that you might need some improvement. So this is just kind of a professional development example of what a badge might look like.
Congratulations on getting that badge.
Thank you. Thank you. Chris, you got it too. So, thank you all for coming. You should get an attendee badge. There might be one of those, I think. So, initially, I think when we wanted to talk about how we built our system, it was something that we were going to kind of skirt over, I think, fairly quickly. It's a technical process. But there is something really, really important that we wanted to mention in that. So we developed using what's called the Agile development framework or methodology. And the idea behind that is that you develop software over, in our case, 2-week periods. And then we followed those up with meetings with stakeholders. And our stakeholders were, in some cases, early adopters, and in some cases, early skeptics that we had identified as being very influential people within the university that we thought badges could tie in well with the kinds of stuff that they do. So we would develop, and then we would bring it forward and show it to this audience of people and say, here's what we've got, not necessarily for technical reasons, though part of it is a debugging process, but more importantly, so that they could get constant feedback on the system and on what they thought. Digital badges are new, and so for a lot of these folks, this was a concept that not only wasn't something that they were familiar with, but wasn't something that they could imprint their ideas on. So as we brought in high-ranking faculty members, we brought in deans and other administrators, we brought in folks from our career unit and other places around campus, we gave them a chance to try and imprint themselves on this technology. This is something new. We didn't have all the answers for how best to implement it, how best to use it, but we let them determine how the system would grow. So there was a constant cycle of development and then revision and then reflection with the folks that ultimately are going to be users of the system and influencers of other people around campus. So who are these folks that we're working with? There are a lot of people. We'll just highlight a couple of them. And the reason we'll bring up some of these folks is to talk a little bit about some of the use cases that go on with them. So prior learning assessment is a group that I imagine most of you have at your universities. In our case, they're the folks that if you were to try and get credit by portfolio, for example. So you come in and you believe that you can sort of test out of a certain number of credits because of your previous experience doing this, that, or the other. Prior learning assessment is the group that handles that. Well, as we talked about, in the case of increasing our World Campus enrollments and increasing our student population in general, prior learning assessment is a group that they sort of hold all the cards in this capacity. And they're very interested in the concept of badges. Again, not because they're cutesy or because they're new, but because it streamlines a process that's really, really important and is currently a barrier to getting more students involved in a Penn State education. So we're working with them. They're interested in actually taking badges and equating them with credits to be a part of an academic major. So a very formal use of digital badges and something that I think can trickle down to any other college, any other department within the university. Career Services is an obvious partner because from a student's perspective, badges are only as good as sort of the currency that they hold. And so the partnership with Career Services is really about exploring why would an employer care about badges? And what is it that badges bring to the table as you're evaluating new potential talent? To give you an idea, we worked with one of the members of our team, and he came in and said, you know, it's interesting because employers have figured out how to use the metrics we already have to weed through students to a certain level, right? They know what the majors are, and they can figure out transcripts, and they've deciphered the convoluted GPA system. But what they can't do is look at a student and figure out who is the student that's a cut above the rest, right? If they want someone who's really proficient public speaker or works really well on Teams or has a lot of international experience in an online environment, right? Things that are real applicable skills, they don't necessarily know how to find those people. And so they're looking at badges as a chance to be that kind of final way of determining what kind of student do you want to hire. As we all know, hiring is a very expensive process. So for them, it's about creating efficiencies, finding the right person for the job, and eventually improving their organization and getting our graduates the best jobs that they can get.
We're also working with an entire second page of stakeholders. And I'll talk a little bit about university library. So one of the things the library does is every year there are hundreds of freshmen that come in, they take freshman English, and one day they all go to the library and they do library skills day. And then in their second semester, they go out and they take public speaking, and they all go and do library skills day. Well, the library is saying, we saw almost all of these students already. They're already getting this experience. It would be wonderful if we had a way to credential students and say, here's a badge, you did library skills 1. you know, and to have a relationship with English and the other departments and say, okay, if you have Library Skills 1, you don't need to come today. Work on your assignments, do this. Or alternatively, here's Library Skills 2. We have a fantastic library. And the other thing that they really want to represent is we have a fantastic library, and they really want to represent the skills that they're providing students. Information literacy, being able to use databases, understanding how to be able to sift through information, find what's valuable. Those are skills that aren't really well represented in traditional courses, but something that you develop as you learn how to do research, as you learn how to use those sorts of resources. The second group that we've been working with was based from the NASA's Aerospace Education Services Project, which has changed now to a different project. But at the time, it was NASA's longest running teacher professional development program. So this program developed a platform called Teacher Learning Journeys, and it was essentially a digital badging platform for K-16 STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, teachers. So teachers could log in here, log into their system. They could develop a kind of a learning goal. They'd come up with, I want to learn more about sixth grade science because I don't understand these concepts, and I got switched from one grade to another. And they could identify badges that met those needs. I need to get better at climate science. I need to get better at engineering. And they would be able to develop their own professional development plans, because one thing that we've learned a lot about professional development is that not everybody's at the same place at the same time. You could have a teacher who's a year out of college. You could have a teacher that's been there for 30 years, and their needs are very different. And we really wanted to be able to provide a flexible platform for professional development that's able to offer teachers a lot of experiences and ones that meet their needs. In terms of being able to make things that are very specific to their school, their students, their experiences.
So just to kind of, I guess, jump in front of some of the questions that we often get, one of the first questions that comes out is, what makes for a good badge, right? And that's an impossible question to answer, unfortunately. What I will say about it is, for the instructional design folks in the audience, this is really where you guys come into digital badges. Badging is a platform, it is a framework for credentialing information. But it's only as good as the content and the evaluation that ultimately you build as a part of it. The other thing that comes up a lot is like, well, what do you use badges for? And as I think you could probably hear from some of the examples of our stakeholder group, there isn't really one-size-fits-all answer to that question. You have folks that are interested in using badges within a specific class. As kind of a feedback and motivational element. You have folks that are interested in badges as sort of a department-wide program assessment that are meant to highlight the really key skills among all a wide variety of classes. You have co-curricular activities that are meant to talk about student leadership in clubs and organizations. One that comes up a lot is THON, our dance marathon. It's a pretty big event. I think it's the largest student-run philanthropy in the country, and our students raise, I think we're up above $10 million now a year for cancer research. Well, it's a huge organization to be a part of, and there's a ton of things that go into it, but if you're not from Penn State, you don't have any idea what THON is. And that's the kind of thing where a digital badge can showcase what you know, the kinds of skills that you have. So there's a huge variety of different use cases, so there's not a one-size-fits-all answer. And that's kind of an important thing to think about, because I think a lot of people come in with a preconceived notion of what a badge is, what it can do, can I use it? The answer is probably yes in different cases. And then there was a great quote from an unnamed source who is standing on stage with me right now in terms of the size of a badge, right? In our case, badges can have a lot of different steps, a lot of different pieces of evidence that go along with them. But I think a great way to think about it, and again, this is a design recommendation, not necessarily a mandate, is that a badge should only be as big as the amount of feedback you're ready to give to a student, or when you think it's time to give them feedback. And this is sort of the gamification perspective of digital badges. If you think about what they are credentials of specific things, but they're also a chance for you to connect back with a student. Not necessarily like a grade, less formal than that, but it's a chance for you to respond in some way, to showcase whether or not a student knows something about something, whatever it is. And so whenever it is that you think it's time to provide feedback, that's how big a badge should be as far as the scope of its content. So just something to think about in that space.
So over the past 2 years, I've been working on the Teacher Learning Journeys project, and specifically starting to look at data collected from that. So a lot of the things that we're looking at is the relationship to digital badging and personalized learning. So this provides an opportunity for for professionals out in the field to essentially identify professional development, customize it based on their needs, be able to make it relevant to their school, their students, and so on. They also then go out and set goals. So we learned a lot about goal setting, where essentially when we ask them to think about what they wanted to do in the summer or what they wanted to do professionally over the course of a year, they were actually much more focused on those specific tasks, and they were also much more likely to make a lot more progress in that particular field. And that was something that was really interesting and something that we're definitely going to be looking more into. We also learned a lot in terms of reflections. So we asked them to write reflections about how they executed their professional development. A lot of this was kind of just independent stuff. They, you know, were watch a video, read a resource, create a document, and then upload reflections. And we learned a lot about scaffolding and how important it is for when a learner that's focused on kind of independent professional development to really be able to know what they're looking for and to be able to provide that learner ideas of where they might want to go with those sort of reflections, rather than just saying, reflect, go ahead. And so right now, we actually have two papers in review right now. And these are, I was supposed to hear back on December 15th, but you know how that goes. So you know, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some publications out there and really start to advance the body of literature, because right now there may be half a dozen papers out there in journals focusing on digital badgings and those applications. And a lot of them are really focused on kind of motivation. But I think that there are a lot of areas that are open to explore in terms of how badging relates back to learning and what we can use them for in order to make those experiences better.
So at this point, we wanted to kind of turn over to the things that we've learned so far. So, you know, as Chris mentioned, we've been working on this for probably about a year now, and there's a couple of things that have come into play. First of all, I'll say that the system that we've developed is certainly not the only badging platform out there. Most of you have probably come across one. So these lessons are things that I hope that you can apply, whether or not you're interested in just trying out badging with one of the pre-existing systems, or whether you came here today thinking, it's time that we build one at my own institution of higher learning. The first one deals with peer assessment, and I think this is a really interesting discussion because, again, like most things in this space, there's no real answer to it. One of the things that we hope to do, and the example that Chris gave earlier about the university libraries, I think, speaks to that, is create efficiencies, right? So the student that doesn't have to go to the library training session four times because their instructors don't believe that they went the first three times, those are examples of efficiency that you can create within a university. Similarly, we're hoping that badging will lead to a system where the best of breed, so to speak, learning modules or whatever you'd like to call them, end up getting pulled into other courses. So for example, if English develops a great learning module on critical thinking and reflection, maybe that's something that we start to see the engineering school pull into their own curriculum, right? So you create efficiencies in that way. What the challenge is, of course, with that is that you start to run into scale issues that you didn't have before. So if the English department, in the previous example, is used to grading the work of their students, and then all of a sudden they get everybody from engineering, from science, from communications, well, are they getting more faculty to do the assessment on this? Like, how exactly is all this going to work out? And so one of the things that comes up a lot is peer assessment, right? And we've seen this in the MOOC space, because that's how you scale things up enormously, right? You don't hire more people. You start to let the learners work with each other to develop assessment. Obviously, there's a strength in that, right? That scales very well. The downside is you have to find the balance between using peer assessment and the folks that really don't want students or badge earners to be the ones that are giving out the credentials. So there's still a level of reflection. And so finding the balance between that is something that we're working on now. It's not an easy question to answer, but it is something that I certainly recommend all of you think about if you're thinking about badges on a large scale. The other thing is probably an obvious note, and that is that coming up with good evidence for certain things that we haven't always collected evidence on is really challenging. And you know, we bring up critical thinking and public speaking and communication and things like that that are easy examples because they tend to be very subjective, but they also tend to be things that all of us want our students to have. And so if you ask someone, well, tell me what makes a good team member, and what's the evidence that we can show that? This is where badges only become as good as the content that's a part of them. So if you're going to ask that of people, it can be a process, and certainly it is a challenge. But I think it's ultimately a good problem to have, because it really gets us to look deeper about the kinds of things that we find important, and ultimately the kinds of ways that we want to assess those sorts of things. This is the next point is kind of more of a semantic one, and this is something that we've learned about trying to sell the idea of badges, so to speak, to senior administration, and that is that badges in and of themselves, you know, there's a connotation with them, and it can be sometimes a fluffier one, right? So there's a lot of analogies to the Boy Scout, Girl Scout sort of badge. That's not always the way you want to necessarily sell that to senior administrators at your respective universities, right? But if you break a badge down into what it actually is or what it accomplishes, right? If badges are about providing more and better feedback to my students, if badges are about increasing the marketability of my students, if they're about creating new and deeper senses of academic transparency, all of a sudden you have something that's a little easier to sell to people, I think. Know your use case, right? And this is just something that's that evolves. It's true of all learning technologies. We create badges. People want to use them, or they don't. But they don't necessarily know how they want to use them. Is this for a class? Is this for co-curricular stuff? So just kind of think about these sorts of things. And know, again, that if you're trying to present this technology to people, there isn't a one-size-fits-all answer. But there's different ways you'd go about creating badges that are appropriate for different use cases. Similarly, just kind of create an open framework. And this was something that that we certainly borrowed from some of our predecessors in the badge space. I know the folks out of Purdue follow this methodology. Don't be too prescriptive in the kinds of things that you allow a system to do for a user, because we don't know all the answers. We don't know how everyone wants to necessarily use things. So this was part of the idea of creating those stakeholder communities to help us learn as we're developing, and also make sure that our system wasn't too rigid to actually do what people ultimately wanted and needed to do. So now onto the student perspective, right? And so listening to what students have to say about digital badges is interesting, because most of them sort of look at you like you're crazy, and they're like, badges, like what, like Foursquare, maybe? Except I don't think anyone uses Foursquare anymore, so even that reference is dated, and it's really depressing. But the one thing that students do understand is efficiencies. So if a badge can, for example, get them out of having to go to this library research seminar four times, that's something they understand. They also understand representing themselves. So our culture at Penn State is such that we have really pushed the ePortfolio initiative very hard over the last couple of years. Setting up a framework for them to have evidence that goes into that ePortfolio is something that they get. They've gotten an idea about presenting their work. So what we say with badges is, what if we could give you something that would essentially provide proof to everything that you say on your ePortfolio? That's something that appeals to them, because they get it makes it easier to explain to a potential advisor, graduate program, employer, I have these skills, and I can show you examples of these skills, and that's something that they can give them a level up. Speaking of employers, one of the things that is really important to consider, and this is another question we get a lot when we talk about badge stuff, is, well, if everyone, let's say we all go out and we all create these badges, don't we just create this sort of ecosystem of badge slop, right? Like, how are we actually going to find badges that work? Well, one of the features that we're going to talk about that we'd like to create will help advance that. But the other part of it is, remember, if badges are something that you are creating for the benefit of your students by way of employers, remember that employers aren't going to look at a million badges. But as my colleague often points out, the resume is something that we have already gotten used to as far as consolidating down the things that we present to other people. So if there are 50 badges that you've earned, but you only want to show these three, that's something that you have access to do. It becomes your choice how to pursue and push your appropriate credentials to those that are interested in viewing them. I believe the work of a colleague of ours, Emily Rimland, out of the university libraries, has showed kind of at an early stage, employers are willing to look at about 7 badges for the folks that they're interested in. And so keep that in mind, that as you're creating badges, there's probably only going to be a handful of them that make it through. And that's probably only for the students that someone's very interested in looking at. This should be sort of obvious, just kind of technology advice, and that is, if you're going to use badges, it has to integrate with the workflow of the people that are going to be doing it. It is a different system in our case. It is something that adds a level of burden onto people, and so as much as possible, try and integrate it seamlessly with the ways that people work, whether or not it's a blogging platform or a course management system or even just something like email to get notifications about things. That helps quite a bit. And the last one is just sort of the comical thing that we didn't expect, because we thought that, these are going to be really rich discussions about assessment and about feedback and about what makes good criteria for things. And everyone gets hung up on the graphic, right, that goes along with it. And that's kind of the funny, cutesy part of the badge. But it turns out to be one of the most important sometimes. So making sure to have opportunities to give people placeholder graphics or provide them with graphic support can go a surprisingly long way behind keeping people from getting frustrated. So just to give you an idea of kind of where we're at, we built this system. We started, I guess, last January. We've been running a pilot for about a year now. Or I guess 2 semesters, so almost a year now. And our goal is to put together sort of the first full version of the system in fall of this coming year. And so what would we like to do with that sort of thing?
So one of the things we're really looking at is exploring the idea of being able to build custom learning paths and allowing both prescriptive ones, ones that faculty and staff can say, if you want to, hey, you got a job at, in the computer lab. Well, you need to know these things. Here's a prescription of badges that you need in terms of getting up to speed, or, welcome to class. We're going to go over these 7 badges throughout the course of the semester. Here you go. So those are sort of prescriptive ones. There are also more independent ones where essentially students are making decisions related to how they're going to navigate the entire working community and where they see themselves going and those sorts of decisions that they're going to be making.
Analytics, right? So this is where we play buzzword bingo with the badging system. But the analytics component is the idea of merging learning analytics with digital badges, right? So we already collect a ton of information on our students, right? What if we were able to use that information to create, as Chris was saying, new opportunities for learning for those students? So if I know you're an English major and I know you really like these topics, well, maybe there's a badge that fits with that. So using kind of an analytics algorithm and the taxonomies of the way that people label badges, we're looking now at how we can sort of make a sort of a richer ecosystem of recommending badges. And the Amazon example gets a little overplayed, but I think that that's a good kind of showpiece idea for if you can create badges, how can you get those badges in front of the right people? So that's another thing that we're looking to add to the equation.
The other thing we want to look at is social components. So starting to take some of these analytics and be able to include that into social aspects. So like, for example, I might be able to follow Chris Stubbs. And, I'm very interested in the badges that he gets. He's a leader in Penn State, and I want to be able to see what he's doing. And maybe some of those badges might interest me, too. So we can kind of use that to develop the communities internal to Penn State, so within the college, within the university at large, and really being able to share those out. We can also start to be able to use that sort of information in ways where you can also kind of like follow for alumni, you can follow your college. So when you leave, you can see, the college just released this new update in finance. Boy, I better get up to date on that. So I'll add it to my queue. Those are the sort of things that we're starting to think about in terms of being able to kind of continue badging into more of a lifelong learning thing versus just, all right, 4 years, see you later. Good luck.
Yeah, and then, obviously this idea, we're generating a lot of MOOCs. I think we've put out 5 so far, and there's another round of MOOCs coming through. It is the thing now that everybody's really interested in. So one of the questions that's come up a lot from our administration is, well, what does it mean when someone takes a MOOC, right? They get this certificate of accomplishment, or I was told it's not called a certificate because that's too close to a statement of accomplishment. So what is it that you learn from a badge or from a MOOC, right? And this is a very, very important question as we start to think about this idea of potentially giving credit for MOOCs in the future. having a way to figure out what someone knows, not just from the MOOCs that we create, but from potentially those that you can find at other universities, is going to be really critical to trying to figure out, is this worth credit, ultimately? And so that's another potential revenue model for the university that could be really, really important. So with that, you know, we wanted to kind of stop and give some opportunity for questions. Again, we don't know where all of you are coming from in this batch conversation, and I think that's much more important than necessarily what we have to say. But I hope so far this has been insightful and helpful, or if nothing else, just interesting to hear the experiences of somebody that's gone through this process. And we're happy to take questions now, but if anyone is too shy, please feel free to email either Chris or Chris, because we'll make it easy for you, at the email addresses provided. And I will say, if anyone has questions here, please make sure to step up to the microphone so we can capture it for the recording. So with that, I'll stop for a little bit. Thank you guys very much.
Are there any questions online? Hey, I was just wondering if you guys could talk about how long it actually took you, like how many man hours it represented to build your own system to serve up these badges and retain them, and also how are you allowing people outside of Penn State to see the badges and dealing with like people who graduated 10 years ago in the future still being able to access their badges, that sort of thing?
Right. Yes, that's a great question. In terms of man hours, that's an interesting estimate. I would say it probably took our development team of four or so, probably the better part of 6 months to get the system up and running initially. As far as evidence is concerned and managing that sort of thing, there are, I guess, two questions there. One, as kind of design practice, we recommend that people sort of tag badges with specific dates because one of the things that you run into that badges can solve that transcripts don't necessarily do really well or degrees is you got an accounting degree in 1978, you got an accounting degree in 2013. Well, things have changed a little bit since then, but the degree in and of itself is not necessarily clear about what those things are. So we recommend that people date things. In terms of the evidence itself, that is a long-term storage question. For the time being, we're archiving everything locally. But I think it's going to require some more detailed conversations as far as how we preserve that evidence, because it could be something that happens for life. So hopefully that answers your question. So thank you very much.
Just to add to that, in terms of hours developing the system, we spent at least, what was it, like the first 2.5 stakeholders meetings just saying, what is a badge? And, you know, that was really key, though, because there were a lot of core members that needed that discussion, because we really needed to lay out that very foundational idea of what are we talking about, right, in order to move forward and actually build anything. And I think that that's really important, not only in terms of people that are going to use the batch, but also, you know, we include the developers in that so that they got a really good sense of, like, this is what we're actually building. And they actually ended up providing a lot of really fantastic suggestions as we were building them.
The existential nature of badges is never how you think you're going to do a project, but very important. So, other questions?
Hi, thanks for the session. I'm Mike Thomas, University of North Carolina, Charlotte. I was just wondering, you mentioned gamification a couple times, and it seems to me what's cool about badges is how they might sort of mix with leveling systems that are all around us, or how they might speak to the idea of narrative and game design and bringing story into learning experiences. I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit more about what's cool about games and how that talks to badges. Thanks.
Wow, I don't know if we can answer that in like 5 minutes or less. I think that the biggest thing, and we alluded to this a little bit, is the idea of feedback, right? Games do that really, really well, and I think without trying to overgeneralize, education, we don't necessarily do it as well. And I think that any mechanism that can give you a constant sense of progression and a constant set of goals, another thing that games do really, really well, clearly identify what it is you're supposed to do. And I think that's where a set of badges for a course, for a major, for your interest area, I think that's where you could sort of build on some of those things. But yeah, we could certainly talk about that all day. So it's a great question. It's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah, and to play on that point, I mean, there's something just so motivational about getting the badge. And so whatever badge system you're using, those mechanisms for feedback in terms of knowing which badges you could get or want to get, what you've gotten, giving it a sense of reward. That's a critical part of the design, right? Mm. But my question, so I was wondering whether or not you've done any work, because badges need this ecosystem. Have you done any work with employers to find out, like, really concretely what kinds of badges they would like to see and how they would like to use them? And if you haven't, maybe from working with career services, you have recommendations for people who want to do that kind of work?
Yeah. So the process is certainly ongoing, and we're evaluating that, I guess, constantly with some of the folks that we're working with in the employment area. But I would say, as a general statement, it is more often than not soft skills. Right. I think that employers have gotten really good at evaluating what makes for a good engineer. They have a bigger problem identifying who it is that can communicate really, really well. So they love to see rich media, right? Videos of people, examples of transcripts that people have discussed ideas with, whatever it could be, slides from a presentation that you've given, anything that can augment that sense of who you are. Beyond what the numbers and the X's and O's can say, I'd say is something that's been really valuably considered by them so far. But there's a lot of open area to continue that research. I'd be happy to talk more with you about it.
So. Yeah, I was kind of hoping that with badges would help to get accreditation for work of students done. Say if a student would transfer after 2 years of Penn State. Yeah. To a university in Brazil, would badges help to get their accomplishments recognized?
Yeah, so it's funny you mention that. We have a similar use, well, I guess it's a sort of related use case. We have a campus system at Penn State, so there are several campuses, I think we're 20-something campuses, spread around the state of Pennsylvania. What will happen in some majors is that students, after 2 years, will transfer from a regional campus to the University Park campus. So one of the faculty members we're working with comes out of the sciences, and she said when her students transfer, it's almost like they're transferring schools, because any reputation that they've built up, any skills that aren't just grades, disappear, because now it's an entirely new set of faculty that are looking at their work. And so that's what she's interested in using badges for, is almost creating kind of a recommendation system for her students to help show, you know, you worked in a lab, you've got experience with this kind of equipment and these skills. It'll never show up on your transcript and an e-portfolio, maybe, if you're really conscientious about it. But I think that long-term, the goal would be that those same kinds of ideas could be used for students who transfer from one university to the other.
Does that work because badges are more fine-grained than normally courses or a portfolio?
Yeah, I'd say partially, but also because there would be some kind of an evidence component. So if you say you know this equipment, right, well, let me see you use it, right? Take a video of you using it, and that could be a great way to sort of break the ice with someone new, whether it's a new faculty member or an entirely new institution. So it's a great question. It's something that we're really hoping takes off.
I would also say, additionally, it kind of forces the badge creators or the badge issuers to think very critically about what's important and what's going to be represented, what sort of evidence is required for it, and how it's being evaluated. So these are all components that can actually be transparent when you're going from one school to another, and actually could lend itself to being more likely to be accepted as a student may move.
Right. I will say, I think we're at 45 minutes now, so I don't know if anyone is in a rush. Chris and I think, are happy to stay around and talk with anyone who has any questions. So I know there's some folks that we didn't get to talk to. So thank you again for all your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.